We continue the series on Ephesians entitled Courageous Living, and this morning we're looking at a passion to play, a passion to play. And I want to read Ephesians 5, 8 through 20, and you're invited to join me either on the screen or in your personal Bibles. And Paul writes this, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what is disobedient to do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, and always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're in the series on courageous living in Ephesians, and this morning we're looking at passion to play. And first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this 92-year-old man, and he wasn't feeling very well, so he went to the doctor for a checkup. And a few days later, the doctor saw him walking in a park, and he had this beautiful young woman by his side, and he looked happy as can be. And so the doctor said, "Wow, you sure are feeling better, aren't you?" And the man replied, "Yes, I'm just following your orders. You said, get a hot mama and be cheerful." And the doctor shook his head and said, "That's not what I told you. I said, you've got a heart murmur. Be careful." You know, all of life goes better with a little bit of passion, doesn't it? It's amazing how our life is filled with passion, and then when we're filled with passion, good things happen and life is better. And this morning I want to think about passion in our faith life as well, and I want us to think about two words, renewal and passion. And you recall we're in the series on Ephesians on courageous living. And isn't it true that it isn't just people back in Ephesus, but all of us need some courageous living, don't we? We face adversity and challenge and difficulty, just like people did 2,000 years ago. We've talked about Ephesus was one of the cultural and commercial centers of the world, had one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, this incredible temple to the goddess Artemis, or also known as Diana, depending on whether you're Greek or Roman. It was a confluence of roads and trade routes and commerce on the sea and land, and of course Paul went there to establish a church, and he left after a huge riot because the faith life was impinging on the cultural life, and sometimes, you know, we need to do that. We need to stand up for what is right, and Paul left. He's now in prison. The church has grown and thrived, but is also facing challenge and difficulty, and many times that happens when we're doing what God has called us to do. And so Paul writes this letter from prison in Rome, and we've been looking at it through the lens of leadership, 4 P's, and those 4 P's are a purpose, a picture, a plan, and a part to play, that all of us have those things. And so the purpose, as Paul has said in this letter, is that God has willing from the beginning of time, is willing that everything would come under Christ and be reconciled to Him. The big picture is this, that all of us face challenge and adversity and difficulty, and that's not plan B. God hasn't just ended with salvation. God also has His Spirit at work in our hearts and lives. God is revealing His way and His work in our lives. He's revealed His word. He's working in us, and God is at work in each and every one of us. And then Paul talks about his plan, and God's plan is that we'd be reconciled to our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also are reconciled to each other, and we become part of the invitation to others to be reconciled to God and to one another. And then he talks about the power that we can tap into through prayer to know God and His love in a greater way. And then we all have a part to play, which is what we looked at last week. We all have gifts and talents. And together, as we bring those gifts and talents together, we're like this cross with the tiny tiles that becomes a cross. We become the body of Christ. We're like a sports team. We all have different parts to play. But then this week, Paul talks about this, that we not only have a part to play, but we need a passion to play. passion to play. And so I want to think about that as we look at this scripture this morning. And Paul challenges the church to find a process of renewal. Now, I know the farmers that are out there, they're looking at harvesting right now. But if you talk to Gary and Stuart and other farmers out there, you'll find out that even before the end of the season, a lot of them will be out there sort of cultivating the soil. And then they do it again in the spring. And the reason they do that is they want this continual process that the ground doesn't become too hard because you need fertile, broken ground in order for the seeds to grow well. And Paul is kind of using this imagery in our own lives that we need to constantly be working on our life. We need to be sort of, he uses two images. One is to come out of the darkness into the light and to put off the old self and to come into the new self. And so I want to walk through those images this morning as he's talking about sort of digging up our lives and having a renewal. And so Paul says this, but I want to back up to chapter 4, verses 17 and walk forward to where we did the reading today, because there's some important verses that Paul has here. And he says this, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." Once again, like the hardened soil, their hearts have become hardened. "Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality, so to indulge in every kind of impurity and even full of greed." And so he talks about putting off the old self and putting on the new, or moving against the light and the darkness into the light of Christ's love. And so he continues and he says this, "That, however, is not the way you've learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, cultivated, and to be put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So what is that like? There's a lot of metaphors there. So Paul gets real specific about that. And so I want you to listen to what he says. And the first characteristic is the church is to be authentic as individuals and as a family of faith. So to be authentic, he says this, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Then we're to be forgiving. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still hangry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Be forgiving. In other words, I love that. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. If something is bothering you, then reach out to your neighbor and show forgiveness. And then to be honest. "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." And it's interesting here because it's presumed that some of the folks who are part of the church have probably done some things that are wrong and even been in prison. And I think that's a great thing because the church is reaching out, helping to change lives. So to be honest, all of us need a reminder to be honest, and to be encouraging. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And then finally, to be positive. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God has forgiven you." Pretty amazing. So those qualities, authentic, forgiving, honest, encouraging, and positive. And then he gives this example, basically, that we should be Christ's followers, and to our lives should look like his. He says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." You know, every day we need to renew our lives, like the farmers who are seasonally going out there and cultivating the ground so it's fresh, and we need to put off the old self and put on the new self. We need to put away the darkness and put on the light, and we do that by sort of getting plugged into Christ and his love, and in that way our lives come alive. And it takes a daily kind of renewal. Billy Sunday, I don't know if you recall that name, was from the earlier part of the 20th century, and Billy Sunday was this famous revivalist who had been a ball player, and he used to be really dramatic, and he had these big revival services, and because he was a ball player, he would actually kind of slide into the pulpit. Now, I'm not going to do that this morning, okay? I thought about, should I do that? And I thought, that's just not going to go well. I might take out the cross, but later on, those of you who see me play softball, you might not want me sliding into the pulpit, but he was good at it. He used to slide into the pulpit, had all this drama, you know, throw a baseball, and he had great revivals because the focus was how we have that, need that revival in our hearts and lives. And So one day this older woman came up to Billy Sunday and she said, "Listen, if people keep going away from the revival and getting cold in their faith, why you keep on doing revivals if it doesn't last?" And Billy Sunday looked at her and said, "Well, why do you keep taking baths if it doesn't last?" And you know, the point was there. Listen, renewal needs to be part of our daily lives. And Paul is making that point here. It isn't just for some people. All of us need to keep renewing our lives, because if we don't renew our lives, our hearts become hard and there's no growth. And growth really becomes stale. Someone once said that a rut is like a grave with the ends kicked out. You know, in our lives, if we get frozen in one place, and not only personally but spiritually, then our lives just sort of sink, and they're not worth quite as much. They're not as vital, and we don't touch other people's lives in the same way. So renewal was one thing. And the second thing is passion. When we think about passion, Paul uses this imagery of turning on the light, living in the light, and putting off the old self and putting on the new self. Now, Savannah and I went to the Purdue game yesterday. I don't know if anyone went to the Purdue game. Just a few stalwart fans out there. And I don't know if you know this, but it was rainy and cold yesterday. Yeah. And you would have thought the stands were empty, right? But they weren't. I mean, some people didn't go, but a lot of people were there. In fact, there were some people, believe it or not, who had their shirts off and painted their bodies in black and gold. Can you believe that? And that's not unusual at a football game, isn't it? I mean, sometimes you even see people in the snow doing that. You know why that's the case? They're crazy, probably. But they have passion for the sport. They have passion for the sport. Now, this morning, it was also rainy and cold. We thought about it yesterday, and we didn't think you'd have the same passion as people at the football game, so we said we're going to have it inside. Can you say amen? That's right. But that's okay. There's other ways to show your passion. But you know, it's odd that in our culture, it's okay to have passion about anything but faith. I mean, you can have passion about football and softball, and passion about basketball, passion about music, right? Passion about art. But boy, if you get passionate about your faith, people think, "Yeah, I don't know, that gal's just like that," you know. But the truth is, we need passion in our lives of faith too. And passion touches other people's lives like a flame of fire that's growing brighter. And so Paul's challenging people to this passion. And it isn't just a passion for the fans when you think about that football game. It's passion for each football player, isn't it? Because if you think about it for a moment, I mean, there are people who have great talent out there, but if they don't come that day to play with passion, it's not the same. And I can't think that we were just a little bit short of passion yesterday, whereas the other team came with a lot of passion. I guess they came to play. And I also watched the Notre Dame and Ball State game. I don't know if you saw that too. And like, you would have thought that, you know, Notre Dame was supposed to just walk all over them, but Ball State came to play and they came with passion, and they almost had a big upset. So in our own lives, in the church, we all have gifts and talents too. We all have a part to play, just like a football team isn't all quarterbacks, it isn't all receivers, it isn't all running backs or even all linemen, but every person has a part to play, but they need to play with passion. And so Paul is encouraging us to passion. He says this as we continue in 5:8. He says, "For you were once in darkness, but you are now in the light of the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." In other words, you become part of God's light. "This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" So turn to someone next to you and say, "Wake up, sleeper." Some of those people needed that. Turn to the other side and everybody gets a chance. "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." It's about passion. And listen, he goes on to say this. He says, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery." So he says, don't get drunk on wine, but listen, there's positive passion, so not just a negative thing. He says, "Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know from our music team that we need music for passion, don't we? I mean, in sports, when things are going bad, we need the music, right? We need the band. We need the marching band to do its thing at halftime. We need the pep band to do something all during the time. We need that at the beginning to get sort of pumped up and ready to go. And then when things are difficult, we need them all the more, right? In our own worship, passion is great for us. And I know sometimes we don't feel like we can clap or raise our hands. But you know, it says in Revelation that in heaven we're going to clap and raise our hands. So you might as well get used to it now. I mean, you know. And there's time for quiet worship. Don't get me wrong. But you know, healthy passion for our faith is really important in life. And so Jesus said this again in John 10:10. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and have life abundantly." That word abundantly means overflowing, means have a life that's just full of vigor and enthusiasm. And elsewhere, when Jesus was asked, what's the most important command? Jesus said, without hesitation, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself." And the reason for that is, one, it's important to love the Lord, not just sort of follow God's commands, not just sort of go through the motions, but love the Lord, a positive passion. It's not just a lot of don't do this and don't do that, but love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then that gives us strength to what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Because it just stops with God and doesn't touch other people's lives, and our light is rather limited. We want our light to shine and become part of the light. So when you think about it, what are some of the things that take away from our passion? I just want to kind of go through here, and you think in your own mind which one maybe applies to you. The first is an unbalanced schedule. We get too busy, we lose our passion, and it doesn't matter whether it's sports or anything else, certainly our faith. But sometimes we need to narrow our scope of our schedule so we can focus on what is the most important. An unused talent. Is there a talent that you haven't used, that you've broken up the soil with, but you haven't planted the seed of that talent? You need to let it grow. You need to plant and let it flourish. An unconfessed sin. There's something we just hide and buried. You know what? It's like trying to press down a beach ball on the water. Sooner or later, it's going to pop up. And so confess that sin and move on. Experience God's forgiveness. An unresolved conflict with a brother, a sister, a family member, or even someone in the community, to work to resolve that conflict. An unsupportive lifestyle. You need a community of faith. Go ahead and turn to someone and say, "I need you." You want to do it. Someone else and say, "I need you." Because we all need each other as a community of faith and a family of faith. And then an unclear purpose. You need to have focus and a purpose in life. And finally, an undernourished spirit. You need the word and worship in your heart and life. And so those are the things that can really help us. Maybe you have some other things as well. Revival is one of the themes throughout the Old and the New Testament. We always need that revival. And in the New Testament, the whole book of Acts is sort of about firing up your faith. And so some of the things we can do is we can read the Bible, we can pray, we can sing, we can listen to Christian music, we can sing Christian music, amen, and be renewed. I want to close with a couple of thoughts. There was a Lutheran bishop in California who went to visit this church, and the church was trying to do this renewal thing. And so in the fellowship hall, they had this big banner that said, "Come, Holy Spirit, hallelujah." And then they had pictures of the fire burning, but below it, interestingly enough, was a fire extinguisher. And the bishop pointed to it and said, that's just, And the truth is that our own hearts and lives, sometimes we have that, don't we? Come Holy Spirit, hallelujah, but there's a fire extinguisher. We're ready to pull a pin on that, and fire extinguishers can be helpful sometimes, so don't get me wrong, but we need passionate in our hearts and lives to make a difference, and that help us to take the part that we have to play and to play it with passion. Steph Curry, one of the great players from Golden State Warriors and a great Christian, says this. He says, "Success is born out of faith, an undying passion, and a relentless drive." I think not just basketball, but all of life. And he's a big family man, too. So let me say that again. Success is born out of faith, an undying passion, and a relentless drive. Blaise Pascal, one of my favorite people in all of history, a great philosopher, a great mathematician, a great person of faith, wrote the incredible book, Pensées. And it's a great piece of literature and philosophy and faith as well. And he died at the rather young age of 39. And he was a great mathematician, helped form sort of the subway, the underground system in Paris, did a lot of other kinds of things. But as his sister was preparing him for memorial service, she saw that there was a lump that was sewn into his shirt. And so she carefully unstitched around that lump, and she opened that up, and she found a single piece of paper which had a date on it, and then it had a time, and it had one word, and that word was fire. Fire. And he wanted to always remind himself that there was a day when Christ came to him in a special way and ignited the flame, the passion of his faith in a way, and he never wanted to forget that, and he never wanted to lose that fire in his life. He died at 39. But it did a lot of things that lasted on. And I know you and I want to touch our world and make a difference, so I challenge us to play with passion. We all have a part to play, but we want to play with passion as individuals and as a family of faith. And when we do that, we create a light that touches other people's lives. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about the challenges and adversity that we face in life, help us to respond to Paul's challenge and to live courageous lives, lives that are willing to stand for what is right, lives that are willing to reach out and to love others, and lives that want to serve you. Help us to realize what our gifts and talents are, and then to, having discovered them, to develop them. But then help us to use them with a passion. Help us to have a passion to serve you and to love you, and a passion to love others that builds bridges and breaks down walls, a passion that ignites love and life in others. We pray this all in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.